This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Did America screw up when we failed to conquer half the world during World War II? Yes, I will tackle that subject in just a few moments. But first, I need to discuss something about this Minnesota assassination. You know, Minnesota State Rep Melissa Hortman. Guy shows up at her house, 57-year-old man, mask on, pretending to be a police officer, murders her husband. Okay? All right. I got this email. Oracle Supreme. I feel like I fell victim to the Bongino 24-hour rule. X and Fox were claiming the Minnesota shooter of that poor woman, Melissa Hortman, was shot by a radicalized Democrat. They posted No King's pictures in the guy's car, say he was appointed by Walls, say he was mad about Hortman's illegals, so on and so forth. The next day, I hear the left is spinning, that the right is making up all these things, that he's actual Republican. I don't know what's real anymore. Let the oracle set us straight. Was this due to radical left communist or a radical right-wing wacko? His name is John. Okay. We have this headline, too, from The Blaze. Phone associated with the accused assassin's home traveled to Dubai, Nepal, India, and Turkey. Okay. All right. Let's digest something here. And it's not about this particular story, which you've, I don't mean to insult you, but I've emotionally moved on, haven't you? Like I only have so much emotional outrage in my body every day. I still feel terrible for the families. It's not that it's not a big deal, but you've emotionally moved on. I've emotionally moved on. So let's discuss this. It'll help us digest future things. You know how I've been talking a lot about discernment lately? A lot. Discerning information. Sifting through information. Because today, there was an outrageous story. And tomorrow, there'll be an outrageous story. And guess what? The next day, there'll be an outrageous story. And, you're not going to believe this, the next day after that, an outrageous story. Over and over and over and over and over again. And for people, all people, don't think you're unique. I'm the same way. Everybody's the same way. It's hard to know, what do we believe? What do we go with? Let's focus on this story. What was this guy? We know Tim Walz appointed him to a board, but that may mean something. That may mean nothing. Allow me to explain. Here's something for you. Yes, there's a chance that Tim Walz and this guy were pen pals from high school, and the guy wanted a gig, and Tim Walz called him up and said, hey, crazy assassin guy, I'd like you on a board. There's a chance that happened. There is. There's also a chance that Tim Walz never met this guy or even heard of him. That Tim Walz has a staffer whose brother's uncle's nephew wanted this guy to have a job on a board, and they gave it to him. Well, there are pictures. They have pictures. Okay. Do you have any idea? Look, I'm a dumb radio host. You have any idea how many pictures I take with people? Every single time I travel, every time I'm out and about, every single time. Hey, you want to take a selfie? Can we take a selfie together? And by the way, that's totally cool. It's really cool. It's no bother at all. I'm not complaining at all, but you could be a freaking serial killer. I'm not going to turn you down. I'm just a normal dude. You want to take a picture? You want to talk? Let's talk. Hey, Chris, run a background check on this guy before we put a picture on his Instagram. You can get a picture with anybody. What's that mean? Doesn't mean anything. So there, confusion. You mentioned the No Kings material in his car. Did you look at that picture? Have you looked at it? Go look at it again. That's just while we're talking here. I'm sure you can do an internet search. Go look at the picture from the guy's car. It's a stack of papers. All of them seem to say, at least from what I can tell, No Kings in big magic marker. No other marks whatsoever. How'd that get there? He put it there. Do you know that? You sure no one else did? You sure a dirty cop didn't put that there? Are you sure a Democrat operative, Republican operative didn't put that there? I don't know. Oh, but he traveled to, Dubai, Nepal, India, and Turkey. Okay. If you picked up my cell phone and tracked everywhere I've been in the last, 3 years, you will find that I was in Turkey. I was in Paris. I was in Israel. I was in... People travel. Maybe he was overseas being recruited by a foreign intelligence organization. Maybe he just loved to go on vacations by Disney. I have no earthly... And you don't know either. My point in this little talk is not about this particular case because I don't know and we may never know. And Jewish producer Chris brought up this particular point. We are anxious in cases like this to automatically assign a motive that fits in our box. When I see a deranged, violent assassin in this country, the odds are that's going to be a communist because the communists commit 99.9% of the acts of political violence in the country. Plus, I don't like Democrats anyway, so it's easy for me to say that. But maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was just nuts. That's the point Chris made. There are those people too. You know that story about Gabrielle Giffords getting shot in the head? Remember, I was her Republican opponent 3 weeks. I lost to her 3 weeks before that guy showed up, shot a bunch of people, killed people, and shot Gabrielle Giffords in the head. And I remember this because post-assassination attempt, of course, all the communists tried to come down on me like they always do. I mean, look, they all got together and pulled the Chuck Schumer on me.
The increase in violence, the threats of violence against members, didn't happen by accident. It happened because of the coarseness of the debate, but beyond that, the kind of rhetoric that we hear some in the hard right use, which at least some people think gives them a permission structure to do very evil things.
They pulled the same thing on me. Jesse had events where people shot guns. He was always talking about how horrible Giffords was. But I was actually curious about that too. Did you know that? I don't think I've ever told anybody this. I was curious. And to be honest, I was a little worried. Because when you go kill a bunch of people... And it was the person I just lost to in a very heated congressional race. I was worried they were going to find a Jesse Kelly bumper sticker on the man's car. I was worried that, look, there could have been a picture of me with him at an event. You know how many people you take pictures with when you're running for office? What if there's a picture of me having my arm around him? What if we sat down at a big table and had a beer? I was nervous too. Man, what if we are linked? What if he did do it? They went digging through all the guy's stuff. He was just crazy. He wasn't even a Democrat. He wasn't even a Republican. He was a nut job. If you tried to sift through all the weird crap and whatever it was, journal, manifesto, I could never sort through it all. But if you read through the stuff, he seems like a crazy guy who wanted to get famous by doing something wild. To be honest, after we got done digesting all the stuff we read, I think God saved my life. I think that would have been me that day. I think he was going to go kill whoever the most famous local politician was, and that could have been me standing in a grocery store parking lot. Now, granted, everyone on my team was armed, so that guy would have never got arrested. He would have been dead very shortly after, but you're not generally going to stop some nutball who walks up and puts one in your head. He probably would have got me. How would I know? Come up right behind you, you never know what happened. Sometimes people were just crazy. What happened in Minnesota? How about this? I don't know. And you don't know. And whenever the next outrage will be, war, foreign, domestic, who knows? We have to be discerning. Calm down. When these stories happen, calm down and sift through the information. We have to be sifters. And we have to be extra sifty. How about that word? What, Chris? We have to be extra sifty when we are getting information we want, we like. When we are getting confirmation information, be extra calm and sift. All right, let's talk about Schumer, shall we, and AOC. How do they keep getting elected? Let's talk about feeling good. I'm not even talking about physically right now. Gentlemen, let me talk to you for a moment. Do you get depressed? Randomly. I'm not talking about you're sad when you watch Old Yeller or when your football team loses. I mean, randomly. Maybe you're driving home from work, sitting around. Get sad. Really, really down. And you really can't put your finger on it. Have you got your testosterone checked? Low T will do that to you. One thing you don't see coming when you start taking a male vitality stack from Chalk, natural herbal supplements, one thing you don't see coming is what a great mood you're in. You just feel good because your mind needs it. You do it and do it naturally. You are 90 days away from feeling good again. Call or text them. 50CHOQ3000. That's three. That's CH0Q, by the way. 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to this China thing, because Scott Bessent sat down with Miranda Devine on her podcast. Here's what he said.
Do you think that we're going to get to a point that Donald Trump has said he wants, where China opens up to America?
Well, whether they'll open up, we'll see. I believe that Chinese were feeling more pain. Their system takes pain better. But I believe it was probably very painful for them because...
I wanted to play that part because I just wanted to remind you of what had happened and what Scott Bessent and Donald Trump are still feeling the sting of. We forget about this and we're lost in all the war with Iran talk tonight and all that, but... there are other things at play that have a lot more to do with us. Remember when the tariffs first came down on China from the Trump administration? Remember what happened here, not only to the stock market, to Donald Trump's poll numbers. Right now, Donald Trump's approval continues to climb. And unless you remember that little blip in the radar, you may think it was high the entire time, but there was one moment in Trump's presidency so far, his second presidency, so far, there was one moment where his popularity dipped, where he was not popular. And that one moment was when he slapped China with those tariffs. China responded, and the stock market dipped. That's what Scott Bessent is talking about here.
Do you think that we're going to... get to a point that Donald Trump has said he wants, where China opens up to America?
Well, On the whether they'll open up, we'll see. I believe that Chinese were feeling more pain. You know, their system takes pain better. But
what's he talking about? Their system takes pain better. Well, they have a dictatorship. One-party rule dictatorship. And their people, just in their DNA, it's not that this is Chinese people, they're not American. They're not born American. Their people are more likely to accept abuses to their freedom, to accept restrictions, to accept things their government tells them. It's just a different culture, different part of the world. In America, our DNA, for understandable reasons, is don't tell me what to do. Nobody gets to tell me what to do. But I want you to remember what Scott Bessent just said, and I want you to remember that little dip in the stock market, and I want you to remember these things going forward for this reason. American politicians, all of them, even ones who can't run for re-election, they are always mindful of getting cross with the American people, getting too cross with the American people and what it will mean for their power and the power of their political party. And none of them will push that too far. This wasn't even a criticism of anyone. It's an acknowledgement of reality. In China, if your Chinese stock market takes a dip for 2 or 3 weeks, you can survive because, look, you know the system they have in place. The Trump administration had big dreams of yanking a lot of Chinese business and putting it back here on American soil. Good dreams, I might point out. That's what we should all want. But the Trump administration ran headfirst into that ugly, ugly woman we know as reality. And reality is the American people will not tolerate gigantic amounts of economic pain. You can be popular, 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 months of popularity. You are Mr. Popular. You're practically me. And eventually people wake up one day, they open up their Merrill Lynch. Do they even still exist? They open up their Merrill Lynch 401k and figure out they lost $50,000 yesterday and your popularity is gone. It's a struggle, a constant struggle. That probably would be a good time to mention, are you paying attention to the news? You know already that Trump met with his military aides. You know that, look, again, I'm not going to sift through it because we don't do breaking news here, but possibly as we speak, American bombs are dropping from the sky. Do you know what the stock market's going to look like when it opens up again on Friday? It doesn't open up tomorrow because of Juneteenth. But you know what it's going to look like on Friday when it opens up? You have 24 hours to call Gold Co. Now would be a great time to call Gold Co. and make sure the bottom doesn't drop out again. They'll send you a free kit. Let them take care of your retirement. 855-817-GOLD, or do it online, jessielikesgold.com. All right? Listen to what he says.
Do you think that we're going to get to a point that Donald Trump has said he wants where China opens up to America?
Well, on the whether they'll open up, we'll see. I believe that Chinese were feeling more pain. You know, their system takes pain better. But I believe
he said their system because he wasn't trying to be condescending. But what he meant was the Chinese people will take more abuses on behalf of their government. The American people will not. There is a chance we wake up to a rocky market on Friday. Either way, let's do some emails. Jesse, please explain how Schumer and AOC keep getting elected. New Yorkers are sick of the immigrant baggage. Well, New Yorkers are sick of the immigrant baggage. I'll put it to you this way, because I hear this, I get these emails from places like New York, from places like California, Oregon. You send me a lot of these from Oregon, Washington. We have a lot of Washington State. We have a lot of listeners in Washington State who email something similar. Jesse, everyone I talk to is sick of all these illegals. Jesse, everyone I talk to is sick of the COVID stuff. Jesse, I don't understand. How do Democrats keep getting elected when everyone I talk to is sick of fill in the blanks? So let's talk about that next.
Is he smarter than everyone? Who knows? Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'm going to get to my U.S. Navy talk in World War II in a moment, but I just wanted to touch on this because she asked, how does Chuck Schumer keep getting elected? How's AOC keep getting elected? New Yorkers are sick of the immigrant baggage. Okay, let me ask you a simple question. Very simple. How many people do you know, or you yourself, how many people do you know have said something to you at some point in their lives about wanting to lose weight or get in shape? How many people? I mean, everyone said that. I've said it to you multiple times. Everyone said that. Everyone's gotten a little frumpy from time to time, looked in the mirror and said, oh my gosh, I'm cupcaking over my boxers. This is terrible. Everyone. Okay, now you have that number, at least a rough number. All right. How many did it? How many? Yeah, hey, Susie, I'll tell you what. I put on my dress last night, and it used to fit so well, but now I'm bursting out of the thing and not in a good way. I'm embarrassed. And then she started eating better, working out. Got herself right. How many actually did it? A small percentage. You don't have to find a number. It's a small percentage. It is human nature to complain about things, yet not do anything about it. It feels good to complain. In fact, complaining makes you feel like you're doing something about it. When you complain, hey, I'm too fat. In a way, in the way the human mind works, you feel like, I started to tackle the problem. After all, I told Susie about it today. Blue state Democrats are all this way, all of them. You mentioned New York, so let's talk about New Yorkers, because as you know, I'm in love with the place, always have been. Love you, WOR, and I have a bunch of friends who live there all the time. And they're always complaining about New York City. I like it more than they do. New Yorkers are generally like this, though. They're complaining about the trash. They're complaining about, well, it was de Blasio. Now they're complaining. They're already preemptively complaining about Cuomo. They're complaining about this. They're complaining about that. They're complaining about Eric Adams. They're complaining about the city council. They're complaining about, oh, and by the way, I don't care if any of this offends you. It's true, and everyone knows this is how people talk. They complain about every single ethnic group by name. And these are all my friends, and they're from all the ethnic groups. Ah, Jesse, it's these friggin' Puerto Ricans. Yeah, well, you can't, the Italians screwed up that part of town. Yeah, well, you can't believe how bad it is in the black neighborhoods. It's constant. Okay. What are you doing about it? Oh, nothing. Who are you going to vote for? Well, I don't know, whatever Democrat. It's human nature. It's why I've told you a million times. It'll hopefully make a dent in some of them. Those magical words you say to your Democrat voting friends whenever they're complaining about whatever. You voted for this. Those magical four little words. Especially Democrats, they love, absolutely adore washing their hands of the way they vote. They will vote Democrat. They do this in California all the time. Democrat up and down the ballot. And then the next breath, I can't believe the taxes in this state. I can't believe how expensive it is. It's crazy how dirty it's gotten in this town. It used to be so nice. You know what you say to them? You voted for this. I love Chicago. Chicago's the best. What a great history in this city. Great shopping sector. Oh my gosh, this crime's out of control. It's crazy here. It's nuts. Hey, who'd you vote for? Oh, Brandon Johnson. You voted for this. The Democrat voter in the blue state is maybe the most skilled person in human history at walking away from accountability for their own actions. And that's exactly why they descend like a freaking plague of locusts on red states all the time and show up and start voting Democrat again. I destroyed California. I voted Democrat for 40 years. We can't afford to live there now. My wife just got robbed at gunpoint, and that's why we're here in Montana. Oh, hey, what Democrat am I going to vote for now? They're famous for it. It's amazing to watch. Now, I need to talk about something, and it's really, really, really important. So I need your attention for a second. I want to talk about our fleet at the end of World War II. Our Navy fleet. What is this in relation to? Nothing whatsoever. It was just a thought I had today. Okay. If you have to know, I have already begun my research on the kamikazes of the Pacific War because I promised you that would be the next one. And so that has begun. No, you're not getting it Monday. Don't get your hopes up. But because that has begun, I'm once again digging through all these different books I have and things. Hear me out. And you may have to set aside your morality for this for a moment. Just hear me out. Post-World War II, the United States Navy was maybe the most jaw-dropping military force in the history of mankind. We had spent so much time, and more importantly, we had spent so much money building up this fleet of every kind of ship, of the most modern ships, that it wasn't just that we had the best ships, which we did. We had better radar than everyone. We had better this. We had better that. We had the best ships. We had the most of them. All right, you with me? What can you do when you completely control the sea and the air? You can either conquer anywhere you want, or at least destroy almost anywhere you want. And you definitely can cut off any kind of a water-based country. It doesn't just have to be an island, but any country that relies on the ocean to get their supplies in and out, you can cut them off. In fact, the greatest argument against dropping the atom bombs on Japan, for those people who disagree with such a thing, the greatest argument against it was we were already starving them to death. They were going to have a rebellion themselves because we were sinking all the ships coming in. Our Navy was so incredible, they couldn't get anything in. And that was before we were fully committed. We could have just surrounded that whole place and watched them starve until they gave up. Now, setting that aside, here's my question. How much of the world could we and should we have conquered with that naval force post-World War II? Think of all the countries. Think of how many places, and I know, look, I said set aside your morality, because I realize when I say taken, we're talking about bombing and starving and murdering people, and I don't think that we want, that we wish we would have done that, but just think about this. You have the most jaw-dropping military force, or at least one of them, in the history of mankind. That would be the United States Navy at the end of World War II. There is no other country on the planet that can even really hurt you significantly on the ocean. Not even the UK by then. We would have swept them right off the ocean. They weren't even in our league. Nobody was. Nobody was. What could we have taken for ourselves? Let me put it this way. Who could have stopped us from taking 50 countries? You could have taken anything you wanted, and physically, nobody can stop you. And because you own the Navy, because you own the ocean, I mean, and with that comes the air, because we had a bunch of air base, whatever, you get it. We own the ocean. We own the air. You don't even have to worry about your supply chains being messed up. What if every single country on the planet sanctioned us? It wouldn't have mattered. We would have owned all the materials. You can just take everything and you can't do anything about it. I bring this up because how many other times in human history can you find where a country had access to that and did not use it to expand themselves? I guess that's to our credit that we didn't use it to go conquer the planet. It's probably to our credit. I don't wish we did it, but that's an interesting mental experiment, isn't it? Who could have stopped us? The only thing militarily we probably couldn't have done at the end of World War II was invade the Soviet Union, because that's virtually impossible, and the Red Army was honestly amazing by the end of World War II. But besides that land invasion, we could have taken anything we wanted. Think about that. It's not important. Obviously, I was lying about that, but it's fascinating, isn't it? Anyway, let's get back to emails. Politics, next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. I have no idea why I chose to go down that Navy rabbit hole with you, but these are the things that cross my extremely messed up, low-functioning mind. When I start reading books and analyzing things, I think about this because the Roman army. The Roman army was famous for this. They would have a territory, and then there would be somebody on their border, usually a barbarian tribe, the Gauls or someone like that. And the Romans would have this huge army, and they would convince themselves, hey, they have a big army too. Isn't that a threat to us? And we have this sweet army. Why don't we just go take it? And they would go take it. And then once they got that, there'd be another border. And then they'd look at their army and say, well, I mean, we can just take it if we want to take it. Shouldn't we take it? Why wouldn't we take it? Isn't it safer to take it? And they just kept taking whatever was it. Historically, when you have the most powerful military force nobody can stop, you go until you're stopped. You could argue maybe the greatest thing America ever did was not conquering the known world at the end of 1945. Has any country, and I realize you're slimming this down because of the way navies work now, but has another country in the history of the world ever, ever completely owned the seas? Ever. We had a navy that could sweep any other navy in the world. And other navies combined, by the way. Several navies combined sweep them right off the ocean like they're gone. Boom, gone. What, Chris? Chris said you could take a region, then you're short on manpower. But see, that's the thing about the Navy. Let's call this Let's call it Australia. We'll use Australia for an example. I know they were an ally in World War II. Stay with me. Let's say we want Australia. G'day, mate. And what, Chris? That was good. You can't do that. Anyway, let's say we wanted Australia. Something crazy like 95% of Australia's population is on the coast. You wouldn't even need a large land force. Honestly, just the Marine Corps would probably be enough. You blockade Australia, bomb them the smithereens, you take Australia, okay? How large of a force do you need to keep Australia when, remember, you have the ocean? You control the ocean. Who's going to come? How are you going to lose Australia when you control the ocean? This is what doomed the Japanese, well, part of what doomed the Japanese in the Pacific War, as our Navy got bigger and bigger and better during the war. We didn't even have to take every island. Like, they had a huge island. This is famous. You nerds will know this already. Rubal. You can look up Rubal. It was a Japanese, it was essentially a Pacific fortress where they had all their, they had so many troops and supplies and everything stationed there. And we actually agonized over it. Do we take Rubal? We kind of have to take Rubal. And then we figured out, wait a minute, why do we have to take Rubal? We'll just sweep them off the sea and let Rubal sit there and just essentially wither away. Who can do anything about it? Put all your troops on Rubal. That's fine. You're never going to see them again because we own it all. Whatever. This is stupid. I don't know why I got on something stupid. I want to talk about something more fun.
Americans' favorable views of the Democratic Party's brand are at a record low. Just 29%. That's compared to 36% for Republicans. It is the lowest ever recorded for Democrats in CNN polling going back more than 30 years. As you can see, the party's numbers dropping a staggering 20 points in just 4 years. The CNN SRI...
That's wild. It's almost like these people don't have the pulse of the American public.
I think when we win the majority in the House, you're going to see enough Democrats make it a priority for ICE enforcement, that they are no longer faceless. It looks too much like some 1800s bank robber or, you know, some KGB officer in Russia, you know, pulling protesters off the streets. And that part, it really bothers people that that's how they're conducting it. And so show us your face is going to be a part of, I think, you know, a Democratic enforcement policy in the future.
Stripping ICE agents of their facial protection? That wasn't popular with middle America? Huh. Let's check in with Kathy Hochul. Hey, Kathy, why is the Democratic Party unpopular?
They're walking out of this courthouse, taken away from their families. They don't have the attention. They don't have the lawyers. And that's why the state of New York is providing $50 million to cover legal services for people who are finding themselves in this situation.
They're taking $50 million in taxpayer money and paying illegals, paying their lawyers. That's what's happening. The Democrat Party, they handed over every ounce of political credibility they had to the mass importation of foreign barbarians. And now their intention is to sell out every last bit of it to keep all those people here. And every day they wake up and see themselves cratering in the polls, and they don't seem to be able to turn around. It's amazing. All right, let's talk about Gen Z rejecting them. The Social Security Trust Fund running out of money. What did Whoopi Goldberg say about Iran versus America? All that plus some Ruff Greens talk. And Ruff Greens has never been more necessary in the Kelly household than it is right now. You see, we're doing something at the moment. What are we doing? Well, we have too many bags. We've got all this clutter, this luggage clutter over the years because we only buy them one piece at a time because luggage is expensive. Well, now Ob has pulled out all these bags and she's figuring out what do we need? What actually looks good together? What should we get rid of? Fred thinks we're going somewhere and his anxiety level is, he's practically a liberal woman at this point in time. And this would be when he'd be having major digestive issues. I can't cure the anxiety, but at least we're not having to clean up after Fred every single meal. Thank you, Rough Greens. I owe you for that. Sprinkle some on your dog's food. Vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes. Call them for a free Jumpstart trial bag. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.